Tonight, remember last week we talked on peace. Talked about how when your life makes a turn, can you still have peace? Can you still have peace when your life makes a turn? Yes! God just don't let us make all the rules. He's a good God like that. He don't leave us completely in charge. He gives us the opportunity to be able to fall in alignment, to be able to trust, to be able to walk with people that maybe are not doing it all right. God is a very good leader, and we can trust Him in the turn. But tonight, we're going to dig in a little bit deeper into peace, because I'm going to tell you, peace is what crushes the enemy's head. You know that's what the Bible says, right? That God comes in as the God of peace, and it crushes the enemy. And so, we can talk about peace in the way the world generally talks about peace, or we can talk about peace in the way that the Bible talks about peace, and I'm going to tell you, peace in the battle, peace in the storm, peace in your relationships, peace in your circumstances, peace in every area of your life is essential. You can't make it to where God wants you to be without it. And peace is something that a lot of times we have to accept before we feel. We've got to a lot of times just accept peace. We've got to move into peace before our emotions line up with peace. How many of you have found that to be true? I don't know. I think God is very good because everything part of our life is a faith builder. And it's causing us to be stretched. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times in my life, before I was able to experience physically peace, I had to choose to take a step into the thought, the mind, the heart of peace. But I'm going to tell you one, as soon as you do that, that's one thing about God. Peace quickly comes to your emotions. Your emotions follow your thoughts. The way you feel follows your thoughts. So as soon as you get yourself lined up with peace, I'm telling you, peace comes. Peace comes in the greatest moments of your life. And I'm going to tell you something else that I found to be true. In my greatest storms, in my greatest battles, In the hardest times of my life, I have found the greatest peace. Has anybody ever found that out to be true? You can find your greatest peace when life can be the hardest. And that's only God. Because it goes against anything you should naturally be experiencing or tapping into or sustaining yourself on. But I'm going to tell you, when you get to that place where you have the greatest peace in the greatest storm, you need to know that right around the corner is the crushing of the enemy. Because that's why the God of peace will soon, I love that word, don't mean later, don't mean a while, will soon crush Satan under your feet. So peace comes from God. It's not something we can make on our own. It's not something we can manipulate God to get. It's not something we can even think happy thoughts and get ourselves into. Peace comes from God. Peace is God in us. But a lot of times we have got to get ourselves into a place of peace before our emotions and our feelings line up with that. And I want you to know that. Because I don't know if you're battling for anything right now. But if you are, you're going to have to a lot of times let your emotions and your feelings catch up with where you are. That's the flesh part of us. You know, that's the part of us that we're training to be like God. So it's a little bit slower. So most of the time, you're going to have to get there spiritually. And then you can physically catch up with yourself right there. And I encourage you to do that. To know beforehand, I'm going to think peace before I feel peace. Because when you do that, then it takes out a lot of the confusion of why am I not feeling? Why am I not feeling? Well, you're just catching up. Your body is just, your emotions is catching up with where your spirit is. Romans 16:20 says this. This is one of our favorite scriptures. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Have you ever asked, and I have asked myself this question many times, why the God of peace? Why not the God of war? Why not the God of vengeance? Why not the mighty hand of God? Why the God of peace? Does that make sense to us? Well, let me tell you something. I underestimate peace in my life, in situations, in my relationships, and in circumstances. I underestimate what peace can bring into a hard situation. And when I do that, what I'm taken out of what God has given us in this incredible fruit of the Spirit, in this incredible flowing life into us called peace. Peace will bring you in a situation to the end of the battle. Before your mind, before your thoughts, before your feelings ever even have a chance to get there. What peace comes in and does, it attaches you to the promise in such a way that when you're attached to that promise, everything else quickly follows. So when God tells us that the God of peace will soon crush Satan, what he is saying is, attach yourself to what God is going to do, what God is saying, going to happen, to the miracle that God has set her up. Attach yourself to that and have peace in it. Attach yourself to that and don't let the enemy rob you of anything else. See, because when you move into peace in a battle, that battle is almost over. When you move into peace in a situation, that battle is almost done. That's why the Bible says soon. Because you have gotten yourself in alignment with the peace of God, the faith of God. How many of you are in situations, man, and you should be worried. You should be worried. You should be bitter. You should be angry. You should be upset. You should be laying in bed. How many of you are in situations that you should be that way if you went by natural circumstances? See, that's where peace comes in. Because peace says, you don't have to handle it the enemy's way. That's the enemy's plans. That's the enemy's purpose. And peace will come in those moments, and it will attach you to what God is saying. And it looks crazy to everybody else. Just know it. Who cares? And it will attach you to what God is saying, and it will draw your flesh, and it will draw your circumstances, and it will draw your health, and it'll draw your children. It will draw whatever the enemy is trying to rob out of that promise of God. Peace will draw it to the promise. That's how it crushes Satan under your feet. Now, let me ask you another question. I'm telling you, God's been flooding me with these questions because I believe that we are in a season that we are going to see the enemy crushed. I believe he's moving us to that great place of authority in peace. How does God bring peace into our situations? Does he lay a blanket of peace over it? Does he pour a bucket of peace from heaven? Does he flood the world with peace? Everybody raise your hand. Put your hand up high. You are the way that God brings peace into every situation. You are the conduit that God wants to flood peace into you. And when he floods it into you, it so consumes you that it floods out of you into every relationship, into every problem, into every situation that you're connected with. We want God to rain down peace. Well, you know what God is sitting there saying? I want to. Open up your heart. Let me pour such a river of peace inside of you that when you open your mouth, you speak peace. So whatever situation comes up to that you come up into and you are presented with a hard obstacle, with a situation that's difficult, with circumstances that are hard, there is such a river of life of peace inside of you. When you open your mouth, peace floods out. I'm going to tell you, the enemy hates peace. He hates peace. He is the very opposite of peace. The enemy mimics a lot of things of God. But I'm going to tell you, the enemy cannot mimic peace. The enemy cannot. He is way too impatient. He is way too aggressive. He is way too violent. When he sees peace coming in like a flood, the enemy knows that his time is over. He knows that his time is coming short because he knows that God has said, soon you're going to be crushed. So let me tell you that peace has to begin with me and you. Peace has to be a place that we find our greatest strength. Peace has to be a place that we find our fulfillment. And we become so full of the river of peace that God pours into our lives that God can bring us and attach us to any situation and peace can connect with it. Man, that was Jesus. Was that not Jesus? Think about Jesus. Any storm that he encountered, he was so consumed with peace that he instantly could cause it to cease. Any disagreement, any betrayal of friends or family, any abuse, any wicked schemes of the enemy, Jesus was so filled with peace that when he came on the scene and he attached to anything else around it, peace flowed out of him into it. That is you. That is me. God wants to flood peace into every part of our lives, but God has got to start with us. We're the conduit. We're the way that peace flows through. So how did Jesus stay connected? How did he stay filled with peace? Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." I'm going to tell you, that scripture right there is the key to all of it. If your mind is staying on Jesus, if your mind is staying on God, if your thoughts are staying invested into what God is saying and God is doing and God is speaking, if you do that, you will have, the Bible says, perfect peace. It also says, if you trust in him. So I'm going to tell you, I find myself all the time without peace. I'm just honest with you. Anybody else in this room find yourself all the time without peace? In a moment's time, my peace is gone. Last week, I started saying, all right, God, you know, I know there is peace for this child. I know there's peace, man. We have war. We have fault. I know you've got peace for me. And God brought me straight to the scripture. And he says, what is your mind on? Where are you not trusting me? So I'm going to tell you, if you're battling with peace, and only you will know that. The Holy Spirit is a faithful friend. He is a wonderful counselor. If you are struggling, ask him. He will be very faithful to you. And put yourself in check. Say, what is my mind on? Is my mind on this should have happened now? We shouldn't be here. They shouldn't be doing that. This should not be that situation. Why is this going on that way? Why would they say that? Your mind is on the wrong things. Your mind is not on him. Man, what are you saying, God? What are you doing? Let me just get in this moment right now and put my mind on you. I'm going to tell you, there's a million things you can think about God than what we are thinking a lot of times. We consume our mind with things we should very seldomly even have our mind on. There are a million things that we can think about other than what we are thinking about. I'm preaching to myself, if you can't tell this morning. But let me tell you, if you find yourself ever in a place where you don't have peace, you ask yourself those two questions. What is my mind on? And what am I not trusting God fully in? Holy Spirit is a really good friend. He usually will take you instantly to him. Sometimes too quick for me. I'm like, oh, you're so right. Oh, you're so right. And then it's your job. Then you've got to say, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm going to choose to trust God. Lead me to the truth. Everybody's got a truth. We all have a truth. There's a truth of God that will set us free. And if you're struggling hearing what God is telling you, you get out your truth and you set your mind and you set your faith and you set your belief on what God has told you. You connect yourself to where God is wanting to take you in this season. But the truth is, a lot of times we have got to really want peace. You got to really want it. You got to want to have a peaceful attitude, a peaceful character, a peaceful nature, a peaceful life. A lot of times that's boring to some people. A lot of times people think a peaceful life is a boring life, but I'm going to tell you, a peaceful life is a good life. It is a rich life. Psalms 34:14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace. Pursue peace. There's a scripture in Second Corinthians, and it talks about pursuing peace. And that word pursue right there is the same word that if you had a dog that was hunting out peace. If you had a dog that was a sniffer dog, you know, you can give them a little sniff of something and that dog will go long and wide and far and it will keep on that track and it will make sure that it's not getting off to the left or off to the right. And if it does, it gets itself right back on to where it's supposed to be and it's going to hunt down exactly what its purpose is to hunt down. That's the way that we have to be about peace. We can't be nonchalant about it. We've got to be pursuant on the tail, tracking what God has given us in each day of peace for our battle, for our season, for our relationship. Because the enemy will constantly be trying to put distractions to get you off the path of peace. He knows exactly how to do it. He knows exactly how to excite our flesh to get us in a place to where we want to just move way over here and get all up involved in it. I'm going to tell you, you have to seek peace out. You have to desire peace above almost all things. You have to be a person that understands that the peace of God is what's going to bring you through whatever situation that you're in. Psalms 85:8 says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. I will hear is telling you, position yourself. Get yourself into a place, into a room, into a time every day. Whatever you have to do, get yourself into a place where you can position to hear what God will speak. Because the Bible says, for He will speak and He will speak peace. You have an assurance in Psalms that says God will speak to you if you position yourself to hear Him, and He will speak peace to you. So you get yourself in an alignment with God and you make sure that you are doing your part, because if you do your part, if you get yourself in a position to hear God, God will speak peace in your storm. The Holy Spirit is always going to be speaking, leading, or bringing us to peace in our life. And the truth is, it is what the Bible says. If our minds are on Him, or if we trust in Him, it's perfect peace. Remember how we talked about last week that it's not a peace that runs dry. God, it don't come to a point and they'll say, all right, that's all the peace we have for today. That's not the way that peace works in our life. God taps us into a place of peace, and it is an abundant flow that when you get into a situation and you have a great need, you can put a demand on that river of peace, and that peace will flow out of you. You can get into a place in your life where you are connected with peace, and that peace changes things all around you. But the truth is, we have to receive it. We got to keep our minds, keep our desires, keep every part of us connected to it. And a lot of times, like we said at the beginning, our emotions and our feelings will not come first. It usually comes first from a decision. It comes first, and I'm going to put my mind on you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to think like you. I'm going to talk like you. I'm going to be near you. I'm going to be close to you. I'm not going to miss my time with you. I'm going to stand here until my feelings and my emotions line up with what you're speaking and pouring into me. I'm going to be someone who is connected to peace in my life. And the truth is, that seems really easy when we're on steady ground, right? When you're standing on a strong foundation, when you're in a place where the life is not moving up and down, that seems so easy to do. It really does. But I'm going to tell you, peace is more powerful and more steady when the ground underneath you is breaking. I know that from experience. I'm going to tell you that when you've walked through a season where everything around you is crumbling and falling apart, and you tap into something that is so supernatural that makes no sense to anything else, that is a powerful place that peace can settle your soul. That's a miraculous way that God will bring peace into your life and into other people's life around you. How many of you ever been in a situation like that? How many of you are in one right now? Where life, where your feet, the ground that you're walking on, where the mountain and the hills all around you are crumbling left and right. Let me ask you a question. Is God's peace sufficient for you in this season? Well, one time in my life, and it's one of the most drastic emotional times that I know of, was when my husband had just left me and my two kids at that time. And I always had issues with abandonment. I had great fear of abandonment. I had one of the number one fears that I had in my life was I did not think I could take care of myself. I did not ever want to have to be responsible for myself. And so then I, lo and behold, found myself not only responsible for me, but two kids with me. And for you people that are really independent, you know, and if you look at me now, you say, I can't believe that. I'm going to tell you, it was the most terrifying moments of my entire life. To not just think I have to take care of myself as an adult, but then I have two little kids that I am solely, financially, emotionally, spiritually responsible for. And I'm going to tell you, it terrified me to my bones. It was one of the most tormenting seasons that the enemy was walking me through. So I would get up in the mornings, and I would wake up, and I would wake up, and I would wake up with this fear, you are never going to be enough. That word might not mean so much to you, but even when I hear myself say it out of my mouth right now, I remember the torment of those words right there. You are never going to be enough. I'm never going to make enough. I'm never going to be able to love them enough. I'm never going to be able to protect them enough, to guard them enough, to keep them enough, to fill them enough. I'm never going to be enough. And I was tormented with that. Tormented. Because the truth is, I was not enough. I was a single mom. I didn't make nearly enough money to keep my kids in the lifestyle and to keep us in the situation that we were in. I had, every parent feels this way, man, I had the greatest kids on earth. Every parent agree with that? You have the greatest kids on earth, yes? And I thought, that is so not fair to them. That is not fair that their life has to be that way. So in every situation when the devil would tell me, you know what, you're not enough, everything in me wanted to agree with him. But here's what God started doing. God started bringing me into this quiet time. It started 100 times a day. It really did. It started in the mornings, about 30 minutes after the morning. Every time that tormenting fear that I was not enough would come and overtake me, I would have to go and get alone and just completely put my mind and my thoughts on God. I can't do this. I can't do this. I know I can't do this, but I know you can. I know you didn't walk me out on the edge of this cliff to just drop me, although it looks like there's no ground under me. I know without a shadow of a doubt that you've got a safety net there and I'm in good hands. I would sit there and I would literally, this is the truth, I'd put a blanket over my head. Don't ask me why. I think it's so my family didn't see how emotionally upset I was in that season. You know, and it really kind of comforted me. It was kind of like it was just me and God. And I would sit there and I would put my mind on him and I would put my mind on him and I would put my mind on him until eventually my mind was his mind. And there was this peace. I'm going to tell you, peace like I don't feel most days. There was such a calming state that I am in the best place I could ever be in my whole entire life in that moment right there. That's the peace of God. That's the peace of God that will flood your soul. That's the peace of God that we are supposed to tap into and to continue to walk out and watch everywhere we step, the enemy's head is crushed and crushed. Now, I would love to just tell you I did that one time and, oh, it was, no. For the probably first 2 months, I did that every 30 minutes. I would get alone and I would say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I was so nauseous and sick through that entire time because I'm going to tell you, it made me face my greatest fear. I could be a mama. I could be a mama only to my kids if I had to be. If that was the plan that God had walked me into, it was going to be enough. He was enough. I was connecting myself to that spiritual promise and I was pulling my flesh all the way over until my flesh lined up with what God was telling me. There's a wonderful scripture in Psalms 46. And if all of you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to it. Because I'm going to tell you, it is the way God works. In the greatest moments of peace in your life can come when the waves and the waters are roaring the loudest. I'm going to tell you, I never will forget the peace of God that I walked out through that year. Now, I hope I don't ever have to walk that out again. But I'll tell you, one thing I know is that peace is down inside of me. It is like a river that if I need to tap back into it, when no matter how high the waves around me get, I know that there is a peace that God will flood out of my soul. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Notice what it's giving you. The greatest form of earthly destruction you could imagine. The ground falling apart. The waters going everywhere. The mountains falling apart. In the greatest moment of your greatest disaster, it says, even though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with all its swelling, no matter what is crumbling under or around your feet, verse 4 says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of our God. I'm going to tell you, there's no situation and there's no circumstance that has the authority or the ability to rob your peace. There is a river of peace that God promises to flow into your spirit when everything around you is crumbling. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Who is God in the midst of? Me. Who is God in the midst of? You. Who is the tabernacle? You are. Who lives inside of you? Who lives inside of you? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives inside of you. God is in the midst of you. You will not be moved. God shall help you just at the break of dawn. I don't know why God usually waits till the break of dawn. I've studied that word break of dawn and I always think it means like the morning. But actually what that usually means is the moment the enemy plans to attack. The break of dawn is usually referred to the moment the enemy plans to attack you. The moment the enemy plans to attack you, God will help you. God will be there. You have nothing to fear. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. I'm going to tell you, when God speaks in here, when he speaks words in here, and they come through here, and they come out here, do you know what happens? The earth melts. Whatever the enemy is putting up against you, it causes it to melt away. Think about Jesus in the boat. Jesus is in the bottom of that boat. The waves are soaring, right? Jesus was not in a trance. And you know, he was not unconscious. He was asleep. Why was he asleep? Because Jesus had peace in the bottom of that boat. It didn't matter what the waves around him were doing. And because Jesus had peace in the bottom of that boat, he stood up in authority. He walked out on top of that boat in authority. And he said what was inside of his spirit, peace. And it was still. How many times have we moved into situations and we've said, peace be still. But I'm telling you, we have not tapped into the spirit of peace inside of us. And we are speaking more fear than we are faith. Church, I'm going to tell you, you have every right. You have every bit of authority to get into that secret place, into that place where the river of peace will flow into you, so that when you get up from there and you walk into any situation and you open your mouth, the peace that is inside of you will come out of you and it will cause whatever it is to stop. That's what the peace of God does in battle. That's what the peace of God does against the enemy. The peace of God comes in our life in such a way, it attaches us to different things, and we say, peace be to my body. You will not suffer any longer. Peace be to my children. You will not suffer any longer. God speaks peace into us in such a way that it causes our wars to cease. Verse 9 says, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spears in two. He burns the chariots in fire. One of the most important verses in this chapter, I feel, is number 10. It says, be still and know that I'm God. You got to get still. You got to get into a place where God can daily, moment by moment, hour by hour, whatever it takes for you to stay tapped in, that you can know who your God is and who's in control and who's taking care of this situation and who's taking care of your kids and who's leading you to the answer, who's drawing you to the end of that story, who's connecting you to what he has promises tell you he's going to do. Peace is the avenue that we walk through to get to where we see the enemy crushed before our face. Now, I've asked somebody to come up here that I know a couple weeks ago that they came in and they're such a peaceful person and they were just saying, I'm struggling with peace. Anytime I see somebody struggling with something, you know what I want to know God is wanting to do? Oh, he's wanting to birth forth a revelation. He's wanting to birth into that area. So if you ever get close to me and you're walking through something, know at some point I'm going to say, come on, it's time. God's got some great things coming out of your mouth. But I'm telling you that through these past couple weeks, she has connected and God has revealed such a place of peace that I'm excited for her to get up here and to tell us her peace story. Miss Cindy, will you come up here and close us out tonight with peace?
Just me being here is a miracle. When Crystal asked me to do this 2 weeks ago, right afterwards I got sick, and I thought, well, I'm out of it. I won't have to do this. God had a different plan. I want to start out by saying, last Wednesday when Crystal talked and she had us to be quiet and let God show us an area in our life where he wanted to work out with each of us what the Lord said he wanted to do. And when I got quiet, the Lord said, let me expose the lies that you've believed over the years. And it was all my life. I'm 63. He said, I will expose them and with my word wash them away and reveal to you who I've created you to be. And my whole life has been going from one storm to another with voices screaming at me through people. You're trash. You're worthless. You're ugly. You're fat. You're useless. You'll never amount to anything worthwhile. And these lies have been in my mind for 63 years, so it was hard for me. I would come in, hear it, be excited, but as soon as I walked out the door, the voices were right there to attack. And I didn't realize it. And so tonight I'm going to share my testimony. I can't even begin to say a lot of the things I've been through. This is just the part he wants me to share. I was adopted at 5 years old and raised in a traditional church. At 25 years old, my adopted dad, at the funeral, they said God put cancer on him and killed him, which brought me to a place that if this is what God had done and everything else that had happened, I don't want any part of him. So I went into the world, which made me very angry. And then 2 years later, my first husband was in the Air Force, and he decided he didn't want to be married and divorced me and abandoned me with a 7-year-old son. And we were in another state, and I couldn't come home, which was here, where I was adopted and raised. And so I didn't realize it, but God was arranging for me to get into a little country church where I got saved. And then a week later, he got me in another church where I received my prayer language. And that was 35 years ago. And then during this time, God gave me 3 scriptures. Psalm 32:7, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And then Isaiah 41, verses 10 and 13. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Okay, then it was like I got to the part where I knew I was saved, but I could not seem to get past all those voices. And so when Jennifer came Sunday, when she spoke, it was like God removed the scales from my eyes and all of those lies that were being spoken, that the enemy was really Satan, not the ones he was using. And then I came to a place to stand up. And it really wasn't until Sunday and then today I realized that true peace has nothing to do with my emotions or the circumstances I'm in. Everything she said, that's what he's been showing me today. That's why it was just so awesome to hear her, because he was showing me that. Because he changed this 3 times, and then I thought, Lord, please. So I'm learning now to trust him. And through the Wednesdays and Sundays and our Friday nights, he's been, without me realizing it, he's showing me who I am and who I am through him. And that I'm a child of God. I'm an overcomer through Jesus. I'm an overcomer and not a mistake. I am loved by Jesus. So through him, I can love you all and say no to fear and risk the possible pain in loving you. That what you do in your actions between you and God, my part is to love you with Jesus giving me that love. And if I do not have the peace or love, then I'm not where I should be. We can live in peace like Jesus did in the boat, in that storm. But like Crystal said, we have to choose to make that decision. And my nature in the past would have been in the corner over there praying where no one could see me. And when he showed me to come up here and talk, it's like, oh, no way. There's just no way. And today, before prayer, He had me listening to different worship songs that I hear on K-Love, like Overcomer. And he said, which are you going to choose? Because if you don't do this, you're not going to do it. Because through him's the only way I can do it. And so I had to say no to fear that has been with me and abandonment. To say no to that. That is not who I am. And I didn't have this down, but he said 2 weeks ago we were in prayer with Crystal. And I saw myself standing and the real me stand up and stepping out so that the flesh and all of the other that I had allowed to stick to me just fell down because I was standing under the blood of Jesus and I was putting his armor on and I was becoming the prayer warrior that he is making me into, that he wants to make each of you into. And that Jesus is my joy and peace. And with his love, I am a prayer warrior. And I'm not that scared lady feeling worthless.
Didn't she do so good? Oh, she did so good. I am so proud of her. I'm telling you, this lady prays for this church. She is a faithful prayer warrior for this church. So I want you guys to know something. When God is giving you everything you need in here to walk out and to change your situations through the peace of God that he has placed inside of your spirit. All you got to do, this is what Brother Ford says, and it kind of makes me squinge a little bit, but he says, put a demand on it. So I feel it in the spirit. I'm going to throw that out there to you. Put a demand on the peace that God has placed inside of you. Jesus did when he stepped on that boat and he said, peace. He put a demand on the spirit of peace that was inside of him. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives where? Inside of you, inside of me. So I want you to know that God has peace in this moment. He's got peace in your battle. He's got peace in your family. And all he's looking for is a conduit to pour it through. Will you be that conduit? Will you be that conduit? Will you be the one that peace can flow in you, through you, and out of you? And it will crush Satan under your feet. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the great rewards that we have in knowing you and growing in you and being able to stand in you. I thank you that you knew everything we needed when you sent the Holy Spirit here to live inside of us. Father, I thank you that you have never once forsaken us. You have always been there with us and that you are steadily at work doing good things for us. Lord, I thank you that you are a mighty God. It is a season to praise him, church. I thank you, Father, that you are good, great. You are accomplishing things we just don't see yet. I thank you for working behind the scenes, in the crevices, working all in through me, through each one of our lives, to accomplish your good will, for your good purpose, God. I thank you that we can trust the Maker. We can trust the Maker. Your plans are good for us. Thank you, peace of God. Let your peace flood our soul. Let it be like a river that it just keeps on coming and coming and coming. And it never, ever, ever runs dry because we don't disconnect from you, God. I thank you that you are our eternal source. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.